Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. We've all heard the phrase, passing the mantle, and perhaps you've experienced that. It happens in the work world when a respected older person retires and a younger person takes their role and responsibility. It happens in a family as grandparents die and the next generations inherit and continue the legacy. It happens in government as new leaders inherit the role, authority, and responsibility of outgoing leaders. Today, let's watch what happened as old Abraham passed his mantle as he finally died at the age of 175. The story is found in Genesis 25. If you'll notice, Genesis 25 verse 1 tells us old Abraham took another wife after his beloved Sarah died. Abraham was 147 years old at that time and lived 28 more years with Keturah as his wife in his very old age. Amazingly, do you see Abraham fathered 6 more children with her? Now that created a problem because, of course, every son would expect some of Abraham's estate as their inheritance. But Genesis 25 verse 5 says Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac. Before he died, Abraham gave substantial gifts to his other sons and sent them away, for it was very important that Abraham protect the integrity of the God covenant legacy with only Isaac, God's promised and provided miracle son. God had made that very clear to Abraham years before when Abraham had asked God to bless Ishmael, remember? Genesis 17. We've all been to funerals and we've witnessed family members gather to honor the deceased. In some cases, they are estranged and haven't seen or spoken with each other for a long time. But death draws them together, even if it's a tense gathering. When Abraham died, I think everyone who knew the family history watched to see what would happen with Isaac and Ishmael, Abraham's 2 sons. The record says Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years. His sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried Abraham in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre. There, Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who lived near Beer Lahai, Genesis 25. Now, what do you understand from that description of Abraham's funeral and 2 estranged brothers? I see several important things. It had probably been around 60 years since Abraham had sent Hagar and young Ishmael away from the family homestead due to the jealousy between Hagar and Sarah. We have no record that Ishmael and Isaac had seen each other since that day. Ishmael had grown and married and had many children. Some of his sons were building families of their own. Genesis 25, 12 to 18 gives us the story of Ishmael's large family. The last line of that story strikes me. And they lived in hostility toward all the tribes related to them. Genesis 25, 18. Ishmael was an angry man. And that anger flowed into all his children, especially his sons. We have no explanation what the reunion was like for Isaac and angry Ishmael. They came together, did their funeral duty, and evidently turned away quickly to resume building their lives far apart from each other. You'll notice Abraham was buried in the cave he had purchased at the time of Sarah's death. I doubt there was any debate between brothers Ishmael and Isaac about the burial location for Abraham. It appears to me Ishmael left town as soon after the funeral as possible, and we have no record Isaac and Ishmael ever saw each other again. But here's an interesting tidbit of information. 105 years later, Isaac died, and his 2 estranged sons, Jacob and Esau, came together to bury their father Isaac in the very same place. We'll look at that story in a few days when we come to Genesis 35. I notice one other detail in the story about Abram's death which strikes me. Did you notice where Isaac settled after Abram's funeral? Genesis 25 verse 11 says, after Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who then lived near Beer Lahai. I don't know if Isaac knew, but that was the place where Hagar, Ishmael's mother, first fled when running away from Sarai and the jealousy between them. God met Hagar there in that place and promised frightened Hagar that God would not abandon her or her son. There, God gave Hagar the name Ishmael for her son and sent her back to Abram and Sarai. Now, 90 years later, Isaac settles his family in that same place, perhaps because the name of that place reflects the name Hagar gave God that day, El Rohi, the God who sees me, Genesis chapter 16. And Isaac wanted to be in a place where he would be reminded God was watching over him and Rebekah now that Daddy Abraham was gone. I wonder how long it took Isaac to realize he and Rebekah were living the same faith journey Abraham and Sarah had lived for a long time. Rebekah was unable to get pregnant. In those days, they would not have known why, but it grieved them deeply. I'm sure they prayed often, but finally, Genesis 25, verse 20 and 21 says, Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayers, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled within her, and she inquired of the Lord. God's answer was shocking. Not only was Rebekah pregnant with twins, they were boys, and they would each grow up to be significant people with entire nations of people as their descendants. I wonder how many of you, my Walking with Jesus friends, are twins or have parented twins. What is the normal relationship dynamic in a twin family? This one and only birth experience for Isaac and Rebekah was an important part of God's grand narrative story, which is why it's recorded in the Bible for us. Esau was born first, red and hairy, and Jacob was born second, but holding tightly to Esau's heel in birth. Their sibling rivalry had already begun in the womb. Isaac was 60 years old. They had waited 20 years, and suddenly he was father to feisty twin boys. The boys grew up and were as different as boys could be. Esau loved the outdoors and hunting. Jacob preferred staying at home with family. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, probably taught Esau to hunt, and they likely had many outings together. Jacob was drawn to his mother, Rebekah, and things around the tents. The sibling rivalry intensified, and because the parents had not worked to bring peace and mutual respect into the family, disaster struck, as Esau unwisely promised his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew one hot, hungry day. Oh, there's more, but let's leave that for tomorrow. For today, let's pause and ponder what God is showing us here about the importance of family dynamics when God is trying to do some great work for his glory. As you consider your family, are you a peacemaker or a conflict agitator? Are you honest and reliable, or have you broken trust? Is there any estrangement in your family or rivalry? Let's take a moment and bring our families to God and ask God to help us see what he would like to do to help heal family wounds, strengthen marriages, and refine family legacies.